I was saying, this is what we were taught in Seminary 101, is look like you're really preparing by moving stuff up on the podium. So people are, oh, he's really serious up there. It's also a nervous thing on my part. Good morning. And to God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. Life unfolds each and every minute of the day, and all God asks of us is to just be faithful to God, who will see us through. We were blessed and will be blessed by the presence, the eternal presence of Richard Payne. He was tenacious, and he was sharp-tongued. But that was because he wanted to bring the best out of you, of us. And so I will miss our phone calls. I will miss us recapping some of the nightly soaps we used to watch together. But above all, this piano, though we have a phenomenal individual in Shirley Hughes, this piano will never be the same. This is Richard's piano. This is Richard's piano. So as we prepare for this service, let us clear our hearts and our minds. Let us release the moment. Let us call upon the heavenly host to open our minds to receive a word from God. So I ask you to close your eyes, open your hearts, relax, and just allow yourself to be in the moment. Take a deep, life-affirming breath. Exhale slowly, releasing all concern and worry. As you breathe in and out, know that the energy of the divine mind is working in and through every fiber of your being. Relax and let go. Release any tension in your neck, in your shoulders, across your back, down through your legs, down to your feet. Breathe. Take a deep breath. Exhale. As your physical being is relaxed, so too will your mind. If thoughts rise up, focus on your heartbeat. With every beat, you are present, mindful, and connected to the divine presence. Feel the life-giving, life-affirming energy fulfilling your dreams, your desires. See your whole self free and complete. Take a deep breath. Exhale. In your consciousness, see yesterday melting away in this now moment. You are exactly where divine mind would have you to be. Feel the spirit, the presence of all that is good all around you. God's love for you is being fulfilled in this moment. Desires are vivid and alive in this moment. Acknowledge and know the light within, the light of the divine, is your light to shine for the world to see. In the silence of mind and body, where every fiber of your being, give God thanks. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for being ever present. Thank you for being God in and through my life. Know that all is well within your soul. Take a deep breath. With one heart, one mind, and one spirit, you are at unity with peace, love, and the divine presence. Take a deep breath. Exhale. And so it is. Amen and amen. It goes without saying, as the dust settles on the outcome of the recent elections, there are still ongoing emotions, feelings, introspection, and yes, disbelief. This has led to an increased anxiety over what's to come. I know for me, it has struck me to my core, my soul. That which is the essence of my physical being, my mind, my will, and emotions seem out of sorts right now. Marcus Aurelius once said, "Nowhere can man find a quieter or more untroubled retreat than in his own soul." And I know to everything there is a season under the sun, and this too shall pass. And I know the quieter retreat of the soul is ever present. But there are times where life's unfoldment can blur or otherwise deter your focus, creating confusion within your soul. And for a while within my own soul, I found myself in that space befuddled by the overbearing thoughts, talking points, analysis of how the perception of darkness and disillusionment could rise above the light of truth and life. Having the choice between courage and faith over weakness and giving up looming like a cloud. It's like I have to make sense of what happened, how it happened, why it happened, what could have been done differently so I can get to that what is right and how to move on from it. In my searching, I was trying to make sense of it all. I wanted to understand. Please help me understand what happened. Okay, I know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We know it all so well. Lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I got it. But can I have this brief moment? Can I appease my human nature just for a moment? My soul needs to latch onto something. I'm feeling the impact physically and emotionally. I've tried to avoid the post-mortem analysis, the experts trying to figure out what went wrong, how they got it so wrong. I even turned off the news, didn't even really go to social media a lot. I found myself watching reruns. I did a marathon of the Munsters one week. Remember the Munsters? Just to avoid what was going on in the world. I watched the series, I watched Sanford and Son. I watched In the Heat of the Night. Anything that would deter me from turning the TV to the news or turning on social media that would continuously rehash over and over and over and over and over. Talking points, talking over talking points. Talking heads, talking over talking heads. I found myself stress eating. Because my nerves, as my mother would say, my nerves are shot. Anxiety was keeping me from getting real sleep. Yes, I'd go to sleep at night, but it wasn't recuperative sleep. Because I kept saying, this is real. This is not, as we say, play. This is real life unfolding. It's like a roller coaster of feelings. Then for a moment, I took the focus off of self and thought about the soul of the nation as a whole. And how we rally together through the words and imagery of our national anthem. It's sung at sporting events. It's played at different events. Military installations start and end their day playing the national anthem. And for those few moments, the nation pauses, seemingly on one accord, uplifting the notion that we are one nation under God. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And the cornerstone that underscores this are the last two lines: land of the free, home of the brave. Now this should ring throughout your soul. Imagine, we are the land of the free. We are the home of the brave. Then I said, in the midst of my valley experience, are we really truly the land of the free? Are we truly reflecting the home of the brave? And in light of recent events, what did happen to the land of the free? What happened to the home of the brave? I thought we were indivisible as one nation under God, that we trust in God. It's emboldened on our currency, in God we trust. It's prominently displayed in government offices, in God we trust. Yet we somehow saw freedom and bravery, which is so cherished, dissected, creating fractures in the soul of the nation, all in the pursuit of unfettered power. So are we free if tyranny rises up? When lies become reality, where fear is served on a silver platter like $1 million, are we free if the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness is only for those who sell their souls? When people are demonized because of their origin, when children are pawns in a twisted game of ignorance and hatred because of personal beliefs, when loving thy neighbor is a convenience as a means to a self-serving end, or when strong-held beliefs about the origin of life is politicized, we're not free. When those who struggle with personal identity are mistreated, viewed as aberrations, reduced by legalities, we're not free. This ultimately compromises one's soul. A soul that was once free, now entrenched in doubt and disbelief, seeking solace away from the true source, the divine presence. And without freedom, a soul loses a sense of bravery and courage, only to fall for whatever provides a glimpse of something better, or at least provide a sense of relief. Stepping out on faith, making the hard choice, letting go of hardline notions or subjective beliefs, that's bravery. That's the sum of what the soul provides, the moxie, the determination, or the nerve to know right from wrong. Being able to push back and turn away from that which does not agree nor speak to your soul. That's bravery. Sadly, this was reduced to a fleeting notion because the truth, the promise of prosperity shaped by hope, faith, endurance, strength, and courage, joy, and as a light for a brighter tomorrow, the truth was being championed by a messenger who did not look like the 46 previous individuals who occupied the office she was seeking. Many people were not brave enough to step up and step out on faith to move in a different direction, largely because of the paralysis of the patriarchal normative of this nation's history. You're quiet. Conspiracies, rewriting the truth, pandering in fear and anxiety, steeped in falsehoods, otherwise known as the clanging gongs and noisy cymbals, strategically made the empty promises more attractive. The talk of false bravado and toughness for an instantaneous change, upending the promise of sustaining a brighter tomorrow. This created a hailstorm within the soul of so many people. But we've seen this before. I'm reminded of the earthly ministry of Jesus. Now, before I get into this part, I do have the caveat that there is some creative license that I'm going to apply here to get the point across. Amen? It's always good to have creative license. Here you have Jesus, the way maker and way shower, teaching how to take care of each other, to stand in the gap for one another, to love thy neighbor. Jesus came as the way, the truth, and the life. His message of hope, faith, endurance, patience, and a better life instilled joy and resonated with so many people. Unfortunately, there were those, the so-called powers that be, felt threatened and sought to derail both Jesus and his ministry. They sought to discount Jesus because he was not like them. He was not a noble person. He held no position of authority. He was the son of a carpenter. He doesn't know the people. They conspired to cast aspersions, convincing the people of falsehoods and hollow rhetoric. So eventually Jesus was put before the people. He was put on trial. But keep in mind, it was not just the man Jesus that was on trial. What he stood for, what he represented, was on trial as well. And for those who believed in him and those whose soul had been compromised enough started to question his validity, his promise of life everlasting, because of the dubious words and actions of some, shall we say, loud and outspoken figures. Ultimately, the choice was made with a deafening disregard for the true truth, for that of dis-ease, disdain, disbelief, embodied in the likes of a man called Barabbas, who was what? A convicted felon. The people chose a convicted felon over the truth. Y'all still quiet. Now, the only difference here is he was in jail. I'll let that sit there for a second. Dubious in character and nature. Yet, this biblical account is much more contextual and layered. Yet, it reflects what has happened over and over throughout the course of humanity's history. How scores of people can be misled, beguiled, duped, and persuaded to believe in falsehoods, empty rhetoric, and hollowed promises because of fear and misleading notions rallied by self-serving, insecure individuals, insecure groups. This leads to a battle for the soul, and an exhaustive process of soul searching. And all it takes is a question of what if in one soul for the floodgates of doubt potentially leading you down a path of counterproductiveness to one's highest good. Now remember, I'm trying to get back to that quieter retreat of the soul. But I'm perplexed. I'm concerned that the soul could be so manipulated and undermined in such fashion that it would take a backseat to the wiles of the world. Matthew 16 and 26 from the New American Bible states, "What profit the world? What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?" Other versions put it this way: "For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeits his soul?" The Message, which is like giving it to you unadulterated, puts it like this: "What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for?" This should raise a red flag. So if I choose this over that, or if I follow this individual, I make this decision, which looks so good and inviting, it meets my immediate needs, it's exactly what I wanted. The packaging, the promises, although it may be deceptive, was so attractive. I couldn't turn it down. I couldn't say no. But to truly get it, I have to lose my soul. But you know what? I think my soul will be okay. I think I'll be able to recover. I think I can get my soul back, right? I can get my soul back once I give it away. Isn't that how it works? That if I just take time and get through this, I can get my soul back? See, that's when you know something is up. When you have to convince yourself that you've made the right choice or you're following the right path. Perhaps you may even experience buyer's remorse. This speaks of a self-inflicted disconnect from the essence of the source of one's soul. Remember, it's self-inflicted because God never leaves nor forsakes us. We're the one who make the options. And for a moment, everything appears fine. What was thought to be the answer, the solution, starts to kind of look a little different now. The bottom drops. The sense of delight and satisfaction becomes a numbness. The soul teeters towards lifelessness without direction. This is the fallout or consequence when one's soul is susceptible to the baubles and the shiny things which mesmerizes the soul. But it does not satisfy or speak to the soul. The light goes out. The soul is lost. See, this is the fine print that those who selfishly convince people to surrender their souls don't tell you about. Once the soul has been traded like stock, it may become a challenge to regain it. Now, multiply this by scores of people, and you have a seismic shift in the atmosphere. Gandhi once said, "A nation's culture resides in the heart and in the soul of its people." Imagine what the impact on a nation would be if the collective soul, that which is the embodiment of its people, is steeped in despair because so many have willingly surrendered their souls. It would be like the landscape after a devastating fire has consumed all the vegetation and life. It appears barren, lifeless, without color, and without hope. Yet beneath the surface, there's something going on. There's something happening beneath the surface. There's a stirring up. There is an energy, a presence that continues to work on your behalf, even when your soul has a sense of hopelessness or loss. Enter the 23rd Psalm. This is often reflected upon at homegoing services or celebration of life in the transition of someone. I think it should also be applied when that same transition happens, when we come out of darkness and we enter into the light. The very beacon of light that I turned to was the 23rd Psalm. And I started reading it over and over and over. I needed it to saturate my mind just as much as the negative energy was trying to saturate my soul. The first verse: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." This establishes the relationship for our soul. We are not beholden to anyone on this planet. Our soul, as with our spirit, belongs to the Lord. Given that, anything and everything that we may need for our soul, for our spirit, is provided by the Lord. It is often said no one can beat God's giving, no matter how they try. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. When the appearance of confusion, doubt, anguish, or emotional disconnect rises within the soul, the Lord will provide comfort and solace with the assurance of peace, hope, light, the fullness of joy, and love without condition or limit. All that is available to enlarge your territory for your highest good, the Lord has already placed within you. You already have it. This will refresh and restore the soul unto the Lord. With this, I have found what my soul was searching for. That which was with me, within me, the entire time. Whew. That's God. That's all God. The patience of God, the faithfulness of God, the resiliency of God. Because it's all too easy to search outside of one's soul for answers, for some sense of relief or satisfaction, thinking that which one sees or hears outwardly will somehow soothe the soul inwardly. To that I simply say, greater is he that is within me, within my heart, within my mind, within my soul, than he that is in the world. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? Do we honestly believe that greater is the power within us than any of the power that's out here in the world? Do we actually believe that? And it's okay, as Rev said in the opening this morning about the transition of our brother Richard, it's okay right now to feel what you're feeling, but then go back to the power within you. This is an unbreakable, infinite bond purposed for your highest good. And as life unfolds, and we know it will, especially with the transitioning happening in this country, whether there be sunny days or clouds hanging low, your soul, my soul, our collective soul will be fine. Will be fine. For those who may be soul searching, take a deep breath and exhale. Take a deep breath and exhale. You at home, take a deep breath and exhale. Let go. Your searching stops now. Stops today. Close your eyes. Close your ears, open your heart to acknowledge and reconnect to the power within. The divine presence that envelops your soul and guides you through life. The provisions of the Lord will be right there to strengthen you along the way. Verse 6, surely, not surely, surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It doesn't say maybe or places condition. It states surely. That means God will show up and show out in faith, bringing forth joy, brand new mercies every day, and love without fail. God will provide sanctuary for your soul. The light of life will shine bright throughout your journey. Your soul will not look back and wonder how I got over. Your soul will proclaim, not only did I get over, but I also got through it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So as we enter this season of Thanksgiving and all the fullness of celebrating the joy of life and all that the divine has created and will create, know that the search is over. Your soul is nestled in that quiet retreat. You can affirm and testify, it is well with my soul. Let's say that together. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Thanks be to God, and so it is.